Hi, I'm Brian.
And I'm Asa. Happy Labor Day weekend to you. You know, typically this weekend marks the shift from summer into fall. We're usually trying to get one more camping trip in, or we're trying to get one more time on our bikes. And it's also the new school year beginning. Little kids and big kids, college students, educators, and parents, all going back to school. But if we've learned anything from 2020, what was normal before doesn't feel that way right now. We're walking through a season that has been extremely disorienting. The combination of a global pandemic, racial and political tensions, and economic uncertainty has many people spinning, wondering which way is up and what's coming next.
Yeah, it really has been a lot. And as human beings, we like to have security. We desire security. We often push to have things under our control. But in many ways, that's been so challenged and even thrown out the window this year. But in the midst of that, I love how the Bible has so much to say to us in times like we're walking through right now. In our current sermon series, we're actually looking at what the Apostle Paul wrote to the church in Philippi as they were encountering some real difficulties. In the midst of all of their challenges, Paul points to this powerful truth. In fully surrendering to Jesus, we can find a security that goes way beyond any of our circumstances. So what we're going to do, we're going to take a look at this next section in Philippians and see how Paul's words and particularly how his actions, his example, can highlight the security that we can find through surrender.
So let's pick it up in chapter 1 of Philippians. And at the beginning of, or at the end of verse 18, it says this. Yes, and I will continue to rejoice, for I know that through your prayers and God's provision of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, what has happened to me will turn out for my deliverance. I eagerly expect and hope that I will in no way be ashamed, but will have sufficient courage so that now, as always, Christ will be exalted in my body, whether by life or by death. For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. If I am to go on living in this body, this will mean fruitful labor for me. Yet what shall I choose? I do not know. I am torn between the two. I desire to depart and be with Christ, which is better by far. But it is more necessary for you that I will remain in the body. Convinced of this, I know that I will remain, and I will continue with all of you for your progress and joy in the faith, so that through my being with you again, your boasting in Christ Jesus will abound on account of me. Mm-hmm. There's so much in this passage. There's a lot going on. But for today, we want to give focus to three statements that Paul makes in verse 20 and 21 that highlight key elements of this surrendered life and the surprising security that we can find. First, in the beginning of verse 20, Paul says this, I eagerly expect and hope that I will in no way be ashamed.
Yeah. Let me give you some context on how bold this statement is that Paul makes here. In the Roman culture of that day, to be honored was the goal. And people took drastic measures to make sure that they were never on the side of being ashamed. On the surface, what Paul was facing right then, could have been seen as worthy of shame rather than honor. He was in prison. He was unable to really even care for all of his own needs. There was some major challenge going on in the influence of the church where there were different preachers kind of trying to have their own way and, acting out of selfish ambition and the like. All of those things challenging Paul's leadership. And so this all got to add up to the thought, like, what kind of apostle is Paul at all? I mean, it doesn't seem like much of a leader to me. And yet, Paul expressed a deep amount of security, even expectancy and hope. He wasn't against achieving things or being fruitful. What he was doing, he was simply measuring himself by a higher standard. In essence, Paul was saying, I know what my life is really about, and I am not swayed by the world's version of honor and success. I'm going to measure myself according to the values of the kingdom of God.
Folks, no one is safe from insecurity. Not Paul, not me, not you, and not all the money or success or popularity or likes on Instagram or even the support of our loved ones will meet the insurmountable need of our insecurity. But we still look to that stuff over and over, don't we? If we nail this project, or if we nail this homework assignment, or if I get this person to like me, or maybe if I get this person to retweet me, then I'll be secure. Sure. Well, how about this one? For me, for a lot of years, my security came from how many supposed right opinions I had. And now it may create this momentary high or security, but how quickly that fades. How quickly we need another and another and another boost. Mm. What if we could find a security that didn't fade, that doesn't wear out, and isn't even reliant on how well we do in life?
Yeah, I mean, that's what we see in Paul here. Like, he is, maybe even by the world standard, looks like he's failing, and yet he is proclaiming God's goodness, his kingdom still. I think Paul's need for security was met in his relationship with Jesus Christ.
And that same security is available to us through the work of Jesus. So my question this morning, one of my questions this morning is, where are you finding your security today? Is it in the stock market? Is it in a political party? How might Jesus be inviting you to put even more of your security in him? What if, like Paul, we surrendered to measuring ourselves by the values of God's kingdom over and above the values of our wider culture?
That's good. Here's a second statement that Paul makes in the latter part of verse 20. He says, I will have sufficient courage so that now, as always, Christ will be exalted in my body, whether by life or by death. I want you to really focus on there. I mean, to catch the deep level of surrender that Paul expresses here. He says, no matter what happens, whether I live or I die, my goal is that Christ would be exalted. I want you to compare that with the responses that we often do. Like, how often we tend to tie our sense of well-being to our external circumstances, or how we tend to make decisions based on, is that going to lead to good circumstances, or, you know, can we avoid bad circumstances? On one level, I mean, that's like just common sense and like practical living, but that approach can also leave us really exposed to being tossed and turned when life really hits the fan. Friends, what we need, particularly at times like we're going through right now, we need a yieldedness to God that is not shaken by events, and it's not swayed by a desire to control our surroundings. That's the kind of surrender that Paul is pointing to here, even to the extreme circumstances of life and death.
And this is a beautiful picture of worship.
Yeah, that's great.
See, this worship involves actively giving God our surrendered will. Romans 12:1, which is this famous passage on worship, it tells us to offer ourselves each piece, each thought, each emotion, opinion, action, or word as a living sacrifice to God, giving up our will. This is an active surrender, not a one-and-done type thing, but this conscious day-to-day surrender. That's what I see in Paul's words and example here. You know, worship is so much more than singing, so much more than singing. It's saying to God, I don't know best, I can't care for myself, and I shouldn't be in charge. It's saying, you know best, God. You can care for me. You are in charge. We invite his sovereignty and his providence to guide us. This is trust in God having our best in mind. Practically, this just means I don't get my way all the time. In fact, as an act of worship, I'm trying to let God have his will be done through my life in big ways and in small ways. In big ways, I'm letting God get his way with my money, how I spend it, how I save it, how I give it. And in small ways, I'm letting God get his way with how I spend my mornings, how early I get up, what gets my attention in the morning right away. Is it my phone? Or how can I tune myself to him to start the day?
Yeah, that's good. Sometimes it's only as we face really big challenges in life that we come to some of these deeper levels of surrender. I know for me, a big experience came a couple years ago as I faced the news that I had a tumor on my pituitary gland. Thankfully, the tumor was benign. Removing it was actually pretty straightforward, and I'm doing great now. But I tell you, like finding out that I was going to have neurosurgery brought some pretty hefty questions to my mind. You know, questions like what's my life really about? Am I dedicating myself to the most important things in life? And, you know, in the words of Paul, whether I live or die, am I really at peace at what my life is about, and is it going to bring honor to Jesus? On the one hand, you know, facing those kinds of challenges and asking those kinds of questions is pretty daunting. But here's the deal, folks. Like, the security that can come as we give God our full surrender, man, it is beyond words to describe. There really is a peace that passes understanding, but it only comes as we give that open-handed surrender to God.
Okay. So let's look at Paul's third big declaration in verse 21. He says, for to me to live is Christ and to die is gain. This is kind of the famous line that we all remember. To live is Christ. Let's unpack what that means just for a few moments. We want to live for Christ, Christ being the motivation, the drive, the impetus of our lives. Jim Elliot was a missionary who ended up giving his life in service of the gospel, was 24 when he wrote these words. He is no fool who gives up what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose. So who's getting the glory in your life? Who's getting the credit in your story? Could someone look at your life and see that you're living it for more than just yourself? I believe that, like, even right now, God is putting his finger on, like, something in me and something in us where we can live more for Christ.
Mm-hmm. Secondly, we want to look like Christ. You know, God's goal for you and for me is to make us look just like Jesus. His desire that we would live like Jesus and that we would love like Jesus, that we would speak the words that Jesus spoke and we would pray like Jesus prayed. But how does that practically happen? Let me give you this illustration. You know, have you ever noticed how couples, the more years that they're married, how they increasingly begin to look like one another? Decades of connection can shape a husband and wife even physically. Yeah. It's the same thing with us in our relationship to Jesus. As we spend quality time with Jesus, month by month, year by year, we can increasingly look more and more like Christ.
Yeah. And we want to know Christ. We want to know Christ through a real, like, deep, growing, intimate, experiential, interactive relationship with Jesus. And it's not something that we just read about in Scripture or we wish for. It's actually something that we can experience right here and right now. We can live it out. It's a relationship that's more real than any other we might have. And this is the kind of relationship with Christ that we're meant to run on. And if we don't have it, we will be unfulfilled. We will be incomplete. Now, this isn't as obvious when we're younger, right? When you compare two young folks, one who knows Christ and maybe one who doesn't, both seem to be living life. Both are happy. Both are enjoying themselves. But as life goes on, we're going to begin to notice a difference. Those living a Christless existence find that life gets hollower and hollower, so that at the end, without Christ, we are just empty, hollowed-out boxes. Without Christ, we become more and more desperate to find something, anything, to fill our boxes. Or simply, we become resigned to living unfulfilled. But as we watch someone who knows Christ, watch them draw near to him, what you find is someone whose life just keeps getting more and more full, more and more vibrant and complete.
Yeah, that's so true. So we want to live for Christ. We want to look like Christ. We want to know Christ. Through the years, one of the primary ways, primary contexts that I've found to grow in these kinds of qualities is through being involved in small groups. In addition to growing spiritually, it's also a really great way to build some cool relationships in the process. And so this fall, man, we are launching dozens of small groups here at the Vineyard. It's a great time. You know, a lot of different things going on, both online, in person, whatever your preference is. A lot of those start in the next couple weeks. It's a great opportunity to be able to dig further into what does it look like to have a real relationship with Jesus, have other people to walk alongside you in just the same ways that Paul's describing here in today's passage, and to be able to grow closer to Jesus, look more like him, and to be growing to know him better. So you can find all that information on our website, duluthvineyard.org/smallgroups. One of those things, too, you might check out is the Alpha course. If maybe you're asking some really primary questions about who's God, what does it mean to have faith, what does it mean that Jesus died for me or died for the world, those are great things that you can explore through the Alpha course.
Finally, Paul writes in verse 21, he says, to die is gain. Now, he's not being suicidal here. Paul is longing for the completion and the fullness of God's kingdom, not death in and of itself. See, he's got a taste of the kingdom, and he wants to eat the whole feast.
Yeah, that's good. It's a couple more verses in one of Paul's other letters to the 2 Corinthians is the letter that give a little bit more insight, I think, to what he's talking about when he says to die is gain. This is 2 Corinthians 5, verses 14 and 15. He says, Christ's love controls us. Since we believe that Christ died for all, we also believe we have all died to our old life. He died for everyone, so that those who receive his new life will no longer live for themselves. Instead, they will live for Christ, who died and was raised for them. Friends, what we believe is that Jesus died on a cross. He died for you and he died for me so that we could experience a brand new kind of life by putting our trust in him. A life full of God's love and God's peace. A life full of security because we're not merely living for our own selves and our own pleasure and our own fulfillment, trying to grasp that in our own efforts. Instead, we can die to our old lives so we can live to something far greater.
Yeah. Along these lines, like, here's another practical step of surrender. In the words of Colossians 1:18, it says, to allow Christ to have first place in everything. This is that radical dependence and radical surrender in action. It's not only this profound awareness of who Jesus is, like Brian was just talking about, and what he did for us, but it's also the conscious decision to submit to him as Lord of our lives. We're invited to build a life constructed around Jesus. And this is made real by seeing, like, what happens when you add something to your life. Maybe you add a new job or a new relationship, or you take something away from your life, the loss of financial security or the loss of a loved one, a miscarriage. Is what comes out of you in those moments Jesus? Does adding something good to your life produce worship? Does the loss of something create more reliance on Jesus? Does it all point back to Jesus?
Man, those are some great questions. As we finish up, I want to challenge you to take a step of surrender today. Yeah, that's what today's message is all about. Yeah. When we surrender to Jesus, we get to experience a deep security that we can't find anywhere else. His forgiveness is real. His peace is real. But the way into those experiences is by trusting our whole selves to him. And for some of you, like, you have never made a first-time commitment to Christ. Today can be the day that you put your hope in Jesus, and you can believe that the power of the cross, of Jesus' death and his resurrection, it's for you, and that it can transform your life from here on out. And for others, maybe God might be inviting you to surrender a particular area of your life where maybe you've grasped back onto control. You're trying to control your circumstances in such a way that, you know, you're trying to build your own sense of security rather than really entrusting that to God. Let's press into some of those things as we lead into some ministry time. Yeah.
So we just want to start ministry time by, I want to lead us through like a really simple prayer of surrender to Jesus, just like what we've been talking about, but actually praying that out to him specifically. And so I'm just going to lead us in a simple prayer, and I encourage you to pray along with me. And again, like Brian said, if this is your first time praying this, or if it's your 1,000th time praying this, pray along with me. Jesus, I want to just acknowledge what you did on the cross. Your death and then your resurrection and how that was for me. I want to receive the salvation that you're offering. And I want to begin to build my life around you, to construct my life around you, to let you have control and be authoring the things that are happening in my life. Be authoring my responses, God. God, I pray that you, as I surrender to you right now, would you fill me with your Holy Spirit to go and do the things you're calling me to do? Would you fill me with the joy of my salvation found in you and in you alone? I surrender myself and my will to you right now.
Amen. 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 You know, for others of you, you know, Paul was giving this example of saying, whether in life or with death, I want my life to bring honor to Christ. You know, for you, maybe how would you fill in those blanks? You know, whether it's like whether I keep my job or I lose my job, whether my marriage turns around or it doesn't, whether, you know, who gets elected or who doesn't, you know, all those different things. You can give your all in to Jesus. That's what he's inviting us into, to be fully surrendered to him, no matter what the circumstances might be.
Yeah. And the last thing we want to just highlight and invite you to do is just, if you have a desire to build a deeper life with Jesus, like what we've been talking about, again, that doesn't happen just on our own effort. That is like with the help of the Holy Spirit, we are empowered to go and do that. So what we want to invite you to do right now is click that request prayer button and actually lean into this and invite some others to come alongside you and pray with you over whatever is going on in your life.